Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
And a very warm welcome to a nice warm church on a chilly morning. I think, Natasha, would you like to turn around and let everybody see why I'm laughing? Natasha's got birthday glasses on because yesterday Natasha was 21 years young. And someone else in the congregation has a birthday as well. And she's, I think you're 21 again, aren't you, Jean? She's being very non-committal. But let's sing happy birthday to Natasha and Jean. And we'll not count your years, okay, Jean? Wonderful, wonderful. So I think most of the intimations are on the order of service. I'm delighted to be welcoming Melanie Kilburn to speak to us this morning. She's representing Christians Against Poverty, CAP. And I don't know if anybody watched the programme on Friday night on BBC Two. If you didn't, it's well worth watching on catch up. It's just the most fascinating story. And I think one of the best things is that Melanie just told me that, I've forgotten his name.
John Kirkby.
John Kirkby, the person who started Christians Against Poverty, had absolutely no editing control over that film. They filmed him for hours and hours, days and weeks and months, and he had no control over what they showed. He's such a genuine person that he had the confidence to do that. So, if you haven't watched it already, do watch it. It's called Justice?
Debt Saviors.
Debt Saviors. So well worth watching. Most of the other intimations are on there. Advance notice, the National Day of Prayer is the 3rd of November. And as a presbytery, we are trying to cover 12 hours of prayer spread out through the presbytery. And because I'm the leader of the committee that's organizing it, I decided that Forth should lead the way by having our church open for the full 12 hours. So that's from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. I've got a sign-up sheet at the back. Ideally, I'd like two people in the church for every hour. I've put myself in already for the first and last hour, and I'll do as I once did way back when I was in probation. If any slots aren't filled, I'll do them. But it would be good if somebody else did it, because I love praying, but 12 hours might be a wee bit long. So I'll leave that one with you. Lots of other things. The rice is still for sale. Melanie will tell us about what she has on her table for us here. You've got leaflets from her. It's the first Sunday of the month, so the flower box is out if anyone wants to donate to the fund that covers the cost of our lovely flowers in the church. And the church shop opens for business on the 15th of October. So starting this Wednesday, there'll be goods being collected. I think that's about everything. This week is designated Challenge Poverty Week. So it was just chance, or was it?
I don't know. Sorry.
Yeah. It was a God incidence that CAP were able to get Melanie to come and speak to us today. I love it when things fit in like that. Anyone want to remind me of anything I've forgotten? Speak now or forever hold your peace. No. We are here, and it's lovely to be back with you. I'm realizing I was away on holiday. I've been back nearly a week, and it's been a very full week. We're here together, and it's wonderful to be back with you. And we're here to worship God. God is love. We can only love one another because God first loved us. And God's love is a perfect love which drives out fear. And I've remembered what I'd forgotten, postcards. A lovely one from Berlin. When our congregation go on holiday, we get them to send us postcards. enjoying the sights here in Berlin in 20 plus degrees. It's a bit colder now. Following the Berlin Marathon tomorrow, but not running in it. Over 40,000 runners, an additional few visitors per runner. So the city's very busy, walking a lot, and that's from Stephen and Jane. Thank you very much. And I've got another, a beautiful, beautiful picture, of course, of where I used to live, Upper Deeside. Well, I wasn't quite in Upper Deeside. Hi, folks, back among our ain folk. Happy days, Bill and Jean. Thank you very much, Bill and Jean. You'll be fit liking again, are you? Our psalm to introduce our service today is the first five verses of Psalm 25. And we'll hear the rest of the psalm later in the service. In you, Lord my God, I put my trust. I trust in you. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame, but shame will come on those who are treacherous without cause. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Amen. And our first hymn is number 21, Lord, Teach Me All Your Ways. But if you read music, we're using the tune, which you'll find at number 202, a tune called Carlisle. So hymn 21, words from 21, but music from 202. Well, did you miss me?
Yes.
I bet you didn't. Did you enjoy what Robert said to you last week? Was it good? Okay, I won't put you on the spot by asking you what they said. So it's quite amazing that because one or two are not here, we're all boys this morning. Well, no, we've got Jennifer and Caroline and Katie, but they don't tend to sit at the front. Well, sometimes they do. But I thought I would tell you today about a man. Now, it's a man who lived a very, very long time ago, but he gives us a good idea of what it's like to live as a Christian. Now, I'm not going to tell you what his name is, and I'm sure the congregation will guess fairly quickly, and some of you might guess. So if you guess who it is, you can put your hand up straight away. Okay? So this man was born in Italy in the year 1182. So that's over 800 years ago. So he's not alive anymore. And his mum and dad were very, very rich. So he grew up having anything and everything he wanted. But the things he liked best was learning and singing songs. Which are good things to learn, aren't they? His dad wanted him to become a businessman, but this man wasn't sure if he wanted to be a businessman. Now, it was a long time ago, and there was a lot of battles and wars. So when he was 19, this man had to go to battle against the neighboring town, which is called Perugia. It's a funny name, isn't it? It's another place in Italy. And during the battle, he was captured and taken prisoner. And he was held as a prisoner in a dungeon for a whole year. Do you know what a dungeon is? Yeah, have you been?
Underground jail.
An underground jail. Well done, Jack. Yeah, have you been to a castle or something and seen a dungeon? No? Oh, you might do, but it'd be a really scary place. And he was there for a whole year. But then, because his dad was really rich, he found out where he was, and he paid lots of money so that the man was released from prison. So you'd think he'd be really grateful to his dad, wouldn't you? And he was, but he was more interested in listening to God. And I think we might see a first picture of this man. So over the next few years, he began to see visions from God that changed his life. One vision told him that he should help people who were sick. And then eventually one day he was in church and he heard God say to him, "Repair my church, which is falling in ruins." I wonder what he meant by that. Think about it. But anyway, as a result of that, this man gave all his money to the church, and his dad was very, very angry, because he'd brought him up well, hadn't he? He wanted him to be a businessman. He'd paid lots of money to get him out of that dungeon, and here was his son just giving all the money away to the church, and it left the man with nothing for himself. But he was so happy that he was going to do what God asked him to do. And when he left his father's home, he looked back. Now, G.K. Chesterton wrote a book about this man, and in it he said that when this man, I keep nearly saying his name, looked back, what he did was he bent over and he looked between his legs. Have you ever tried doing that? Do you want to come out and try bending over and looking between your legs and see what happens to the things you're looking at? They go upside down, don't they, Jack? You're too clever. You don't even need to do it. But maybe when you go out to the hall later, you can all try bending over and looking under your legs, and everything behind you looks upside down. And that's kind of what God asks us to do often. He's turning our world upside down. But this man carried on living and loving God and praying, and he particularly loved animals. And there's lots of good stories about him. One of them says that he was talking to the birds, and I think we can have the next slide here. He was talking to the birds, and they all started singing beautifully, and then they flew up into the sky and made the shape of a cross in the sky. Then another story was about a village called, I'm having to check my notes for this, Gubbio. It's a funny name, isn't it? It's another place in Italy. A place called Gubbio, and there was a vicious wolf. And the wolf kept coming into the village and stealing people's food and killing their chickens, and it even sometimes attacked the people. And all the people were terrified. But Francis went along and he said, I knew I would do it sooner or later, wouldn't I? But you didn't notice, did you? What was the man's name?
Francis.
Ah! Yes, okay. St. Francis, it's out now, isn't it? Well done. You're listening far too sharply, all of you. He spoke to the wolf, and at first the wolf was really vicious. But Francis was able to speak to the animals. And he spoke to the wolf, and the wolf explained that he'd been an abandoned puppy. His mum and dad had died, and he hadn't had anything to eat, so he'd had to go into the village to steal food to survive. And it was only because the villagers started hitting him and chasing him away that he started getting more vicious. So St. Francis said, well, will you please change your ways now? We'll make sure you've got enough food if you stop attacking the villagers. And so he did. So, yes, so that's the story of St. Francis. There's one or two interests. The reason I chose to talk about him today is that Thursday, the 4th of October, was St. Francis' feast day. And somebody that I know reminded me of that. Another claim to fame is St. Francis was the first person to set up a nativity scene. Do you remember what we do at Christmas? What do we set up in the corner over there? A stable, yeah. And what do we have in the stable?
People.
We have people in the stable. Anybody remember any of the names of the people in the stables? Oh, you're going to do it. Oh. Jesus. We have baby Jesus being born in the stable, don't we? And that's called a nativity scene. And St. Francis was the first person to do that. And one of his teachings, which is my favorite story about him, is that he said that actions are the best thing. He said, preach the gospel, if necessary, use words. So what we do for other people is far more important than what we say to them. And that's a lot of what Melanie is going to be telling us about CAP, Christians Against Poverty, soon. Any questions? I've confuddled you, have I? Even if I did slip up and say Francis. Yeah. I suppose you could say that he invented the nativity. Yeah, because nobody had ever thought of doing that. But I think Francis wanted people to know the story of Jesus in a very real way. And he thought that rather than hearing it read, actually seeing a stable and animals would help people to understand. So yeah, we could say that he invented the nativity. So we should say thank you to him for that, shouldn't we? Any other questions? Okay, let's say our word of prayer together, shall we? Loving, living God, we thank you for people like St. Francis who teach us how to be Christians. We thank you that he loved the animals and spoke to them, was able to get the birds to sing and to tame a wolf. And Lord, we thank you most of all for Jesus. And now we say together the words that he taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now, I've got a wee job for you to do. Would you like to help me? The next hymn isn't in our purple hymn books. It's in the red book, and there's some of them at the front. So if anybody can't read the words on the screen and wants a hymn book, could you put your hand up, please? And the boys and I will bring you a red book, right? We need one for Ruby. We need one for... Yes. You coming to help me? Come on, we'll go and get some red books and give them to the people that need them. Get your hands up or you won't get one. Right, you give one to anybody that has their hand up, okay? Mm-hmm. You're going to take some as well, Andrew. There we go. Oh, we've got lots of helpers. Thank you. I think we're going to have more than we need. Thank you very much, boys. Thank you very much. Jolly good. Excellent. Thank you. Right, look for anybody with their hand up. You got your hand up. Oh, there's some people further back that you've missed. You have to look and your eyes open as well as your ears. Ah, oh, thank you very much. Well done. Okay, you managed to see the screen, okay. Right, there's one more hand up at the back, yeah. Everybody that needs a book has got one. Excellent, thank you very, very much, boys. So let's sing, O Lord, all the world belongs to you. So I'll let you set off to the hall and you can see about turning the world upside down. So as we come before God in prayer, I thought, what could I do but use St. Francis' prayer? So I'm going to read it slowly and give us some quiet to reflect on these wonderful words. Lord, make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O divine Master, grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. And it is in dying that we are born again to eternal life. We thank you for these powerful words of wisdom. And we thank you for people who... Lord, help us to do our own little bit. Start turning your world upside down. In name and for his sake. Amen. We now come to our Bible readings. And the first one, it's Jean who's reading this morning. The first is Psalm 25, starting at verse 6, where we stopped earlier, and reading to verse 21. And then the second reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verses 3 to 7.
I'm reading from verses 6 to 21. Remember, O Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. Remember not the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you are good, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore he instructs sinners in his ways. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful for those who keep the demands of his covenant. For the sake of your name, O Lord, forgive my iniquity, though it is great. Who then is the man that fears the Lord? He will instruct him in the way chosen for him. He will spend his days in prosperity, and his descendants will inherit the land. The Lord confides in those who fear him. He makes his covenant known to them. My eyes are ever on the Lord, for only he will release my feet from the snare. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. The troubles of my heart have multiplied. Free me from my anguish. Look upon my affliction and my distress, and take away all my sins. See how my enemies have increased and how fiercely they hate me. Guard my life and rescue me. Let me not be put to shame, for I take refuge in you. May integrity and uprightness protect me, because my hope is in you. And from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, reading from verses 3 to 7, the God of all comfort. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patience and endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, you also share in our comfort. Amen.
Amen. And may God add his blessings to these readings from his holy word. Our hymn before the talk by Melanie is number 526, This is a Day of New Beginnings. Now, it's beautiful words, but I don't think we're familiar with the tune. So again, we're using an alternative tune. We're using the tune that you can find at number 220, which is a very well-known tune.
Thank you. Good morning. Thank you. My name is Melanie Kilburn. I'm part of the Christians Against Poverty speaker team. And I want to thank Elspeth for arranging for me to come along this morning and tell you a little bit about the fantastic work that Christians Against Poverty do. So I stay along in West Lothian, and I normally go the other way along the Langwang to church in the morning to Balerno. But this morning I was seeing calves and lambs on the road and all sorts of things as I came through. So it's lovely to come here and see your community and worship with you this morning. Especially as it is Challenge Poverty Week in Scotland. And it was Elspeth that told me about this. So I've been fiercely putting things on my Facebook page to remind people that it is Challenge Poverty Week. So I've stayed here in Scotland now for about 10 years. And there will be a competition later to work out where my accent comes from. Okay. And I started supporting the Worker Cap almost as soon as I arrived. I wanted to work with the most vulnerable in society. But I'm not an expert, and I didn't want to have to become an expert to do that. And what I like about CAP is that they've got this amazing model where they have a group of experts in Bradford, okay, but they work with churches here so that the churches can work within their communities. Okay, so you work with your local community and all the expert work of negotiating down debt for people in debt is done down in Bradford. So for me, that's a perfect model. Elspeth mentioned debt saviours on Friday night. I'm not sure if any of you saw it, but I'm going to tell you again about it anyway, okay? What I can't believe is that the BBC dedicated an hour of primetime TV at 9 o'clock on a Friday night to say something good about the church. It's just absolutely remarkable. Stories of the church bringing hope to the poorest in our society. That's what happened in that program. It was brought to the knowledge of everybody across the country. So it was a program following Christian Against Poverty's, say CAP, okay? We say CAP, it's easier. So it was following CAP's work and some of the 600 partner churches that we have. And it profiled the work of the church caring for the poor and rescuing people from debt. It's such an amazing opportunity. We have faith that in the coming weeks, there's going to be a massive impact as a result of this documentary. So can I just take a little time to pray for that? And if you would all pray with me. Father, we just thank you for the courage of John Kirkby. We just thank you that he was willing to open himself and CAP up to the scrutiny of the BBC. And the words that people heard, the good things that people heard about the charity, we just ask that that spreads like wildfire, spreads along from person to person so that it reaches the poorest and the people in debt, the most vulnerable in our society, so that in our communities, people feel they can pick up the phone and contact CAP. We just ask you, Lord, to bless that work and to bless the work of this church. We just thank you. Amen. I just ask you to keep praying for us. And if you haven't already watched that documentary, if you missed it, it's on catch-up. So it's on iPlayer and iTunes and all of them. So it'll be there for about a month. Please watch it, okay? And tell people about it. So, slide two, yeah, okay. I'd like to start by introducing you to Karen, all right? Karen's 23-year marriage broke down just before she was diagnosed with lupus. She was left being a single parent, not able to work, and her debts mounted up. It snatched Karen's hope, and it actually drove her to attempt suicide. Now, we're going to see more of Karen's story later, and it's a story about how CAP can step in and help. So right now, 14 million people in our nation, like Karen, are living in poverty. Poverty arrives like an illness in the family. It sets you into fight mode, but it's a battle you can't win. It drains your life until you have nothing left. You have no power to change the situation. It grinds you down until any flicker of hope you have is completely extinguished. As we find out today, Christians Against Poverty works with local churches around the country to connect these broken people whose lives have been devastated by poverty through debt, unemployment, dependencies, and low income. So what unique ingredient does CAP have that changes thousands of lives? What do we, as a local church here in Forth, carry? What do we bring of Jesus? Hope. Every single person in this country, in our communities, who's struggling with debt or poverty, desperately needs hope to walk into their lives. That's why CAP's core message is always hope. It permeates everything we do. As Christians, we're all carriers of hope. Because Jesus is with us, hope is with us wherever we go. Like CAP, I really do believe that the local church is the hope of the world. It's a place of safety because we are the hands and feet of Jesus. And Jesus was the ultimate bringer of hope. Today I'm going to show you how you can join CAP's mission. Let's watch Karen's story and see firsthand exactly what it looks like when hope walks in. Sound? Okay, sorry. No. It's an interview, so don't worry. I'll tell you about Karen, okay? She's ill, she can't work, okay? Her debt's mounted and mounted, and she did actually, before she managed to come to CAP, she did attempt suicide. And what, it's easier if you read the thing, because I just think this story is so sad. She actually came to a stage, she's got three children, she actually came to a stage where she believed that her children's lives would be better off without her. And so she did attempt suicide, and I just thank God that she didn't succeed, because someone was able to bring her to CAP. Someone was able to bring her to the debt management team. They introduced her. And what they did for her was they took away all her paperwork. It was just all over her house. They took away her paperwork and they came back with a plan that to get her out of debt. Okay, they came back with a plan, and she was able to follow the debt management that, so she budgeted and she budgeted and she got herself out of, well, she's not actually quite out of debt. But she's got a date in front of her that she knows that that date will be the date that she has no more debt. Okay. But the best story about Karen is that the church that has the debt center had a befriender who was helped her, and they invited her along to church. And they invited her along to church, and she says in the interview that she was, as she was in church in Central in Edinburgh, she was singing a song called "Good Good Father," and she realised that God loved her whether she was in debt or not in debt. She didn't have to wait until she was out of debt for God to love her. Okay, and now Karen, she's not only a Christian herself, but she's one of these vibrant Christians that, you know when you first met God and you wanted to tell everybody about him? That's Karen. That's the enthusiasm that you hear in her voice when she's talking. Let's go back to the slides. And I'll, that's it. I'm going to tell you about the four messages. This is, if you haven't gathered yet, this is a message about hope. Okay, and we bring four messages of hope into people's lives. I could talk about all the messages of hope that we, but in the time that we have, I'm just going to give you four messages. And the first message of hope is that our clients are not alone. Some people in their darkest moments honestly believe that they're destined to live trapped in poverty forever. They feel isolated and hopeless. Now, CAP can only operate because of the support of tens of thousands of Christians who donate money and time and prayer to the charity. And this support allows CAP's teams on the ground to step into the lonely pit of poverty alongside each client they meet. And we shine the light of hope. Our clients realize that CAP completely understands the horrific difficulties that they're going through. And that's a huge reassurance for them. However, the thing that really opens the door to let hope in is that CAP arrives with a confident expectation that the situation can change. That firm hope that we heard in our reading from 2 Corinthians, that every client will have comfort in place of suffering, not only opens the door to hope, it flings the door wide. And the oxygen-rich breeze of hope floods our clients' lives. The second message of hope is that CAP works. This service really works. So for many of our clients, everything that's happened to them in the past screams failure. They truly think that nothing out there can possibly exist to help make a difference in their lives. And what we teach a client in Fresh Start, one of our services, is that they have value and they're not defined by their dependency. Hope walks in. When we show a job club member that the life experience they have is valuable to an employer and equip them to confidently walk into an interview, hope walks in. When we take piles of confusing paperwork in a debt helps client and return with this workable budget, hope walks in. CAP helps more than 23,000 people every year through their four services of Fresh Start, Job Club, Life Skills, and Debt Help. CAP Debt Help sees thousands who were utterly desperate find help. It helps them to feed their family and budget better within weeks of coming into the service. 2,500 of them became debt-free every single year. CAP never pays people's debts. Okay, don't get that. So any money that's donated to CAP does not go to pay anybody's debts. So what CAP does is it demands justice from the creditors, and it, along with the practical help that we give to the people in debt, okay, we negotiate down their debt with these creditors, and £3 million worth of debt is either repaid or written off every month. And that was the clincher for me. I don't think I've ever have given this charity money if I'd known it was just going into the pockets of people who had, at the end of the day, made bad decisions to get themselves into debt. So through CAP job clubs, last year alone, 805 people found work. That's 38% of those who attend. Okay, these people, on average, have been out of work for 4 years. Can you imagine that desperation? Now, CAP's two other services, Fresh Start and Life Skills, have helped a further 600 people last year in 2017. Life Skills equips people to live well when they're walking that tightrope of low income. And while Fresh Start helps people find freedom from dependencies. So when we explain to our clients how many others have been helped, those precious people realize they're not too far gone. What they believed was impossible, they now realize is a definite possibility, and hope walks in. The third message of hope we give our clients is that we believe in you. For so many in poverty, all they've ever heard is they'll never amount to anything. But Jeremiah 29:11 tells us that God has plans for us that will give us a hope and a future. CAP opens all its services in partnership with local churches like this one. Hundreds of congregations have boldly stood up and declared that they're going to be the ones to bring hope in their community to those crushed by poverty. Because CAP's commitment to equip local churches to reach people, every client who connects with CAP is brought into the supportive safety net of a community. They suddenly have this whole team of people to encourage them, to catch them before they stumble, to tell them that God loves them more than they can imagine. When broken people are told about their God-given value, hope walks in. And the fourth message of hope is the hope of salvation. We've heard at the beginning of our service in Psalm 25 that our hope is in God. No life is beyond Jesus' redeeming power. Our clients may not even believe that God exists or have preconceived ideas about church or Christians. No one may have even shown and taken the message of hope to them, but we do. It's a decision we've made. We take that message of hope. We tell them about Jesus. For over 20 years, CAP has committed to be the best reflection of who Jesus is, to show the church, this church, is relevant to the communities we serve. As Christians, we all play a vital part in showing a hurting world that God is love, forgiveness, and compassion, a God of second chances, a God of your life can change, a God of I believe in you, a God of salvation. As Christians like you, CAP workers not only bring hope, but they leave hope. And the hope that we leave doesn't disappoint. As a result of CAP's, I love this slide. As a result of CAP's work, more than 1,000 people make a personal commitment to Jesus each year. That's the equivalent of about 20 new churches like this, year on year. CAP's a ministry that is seeing God's kingdom brought to earth. And today, I want to invite you to become part of it. Hope walks into thousands of people's lives every year because of CAP. But this is only possible because of a movement of around 29,000 people who've said yes to playing their part. These people passionately believe that poverty shouldn't be anybody's endpoint. And to make sure it isn't, they've each committed to make a donation, okay? On average, they donate £12 a month. That's £3 a week. That's the price of a cup of coffee. As everybody says, the price of a cup of coffee. So that's the average that they give to CAP each month. CAP calls these people life changers. And that's exactly what they're doing. I want to ask you to join in with this God-inspired ministry. Will you make a monthly donation to CAP to become a life changer? A regular donation of £5 can bring hope to one new person like Karen each month. It means that we can take one new call, we can employ someone to take one new call into the debt centre to start that journey, to start someone being on the road to being debt free. Maybe you could give £10 a month or £15 a month, whatever you can give. You can be confident that it will enable someone who's currently living in isolation and despair of poverty to have hope. Now, this is a big one. Some of you who have been financially blessed, could you give £50 a month or more? John Kirkby, our founder, he's such a man of integrity. He set up this club of vision sponsors. He's looking for 1,000 people to sponsor our vision of opening 1,000 centres by donating £50 a month or more. So could you be one of them? As a vision sponsor, you'll receive a monthly, like, behind the scenes update from John's perspective. So as you came in, we gave you some leaflets. It's information about CAP. And on the back of one of the flyers is a simple form for you to fill in, okay? And I'd like to take you a moment to make sure that you all do have one of those forms. We gave you a pen. We made it easy for you to fill the form in, okay? If you don't have a form, I have plenty more, all right? So it allows you to become a lifesaver, a life changer, okay? Part of this ministry. So even if you don't have the information to hand on your bank accounts, etc., if you fill in your name and your contact details and tick the section that says, I would like to become a life changer, we'll contact you, okay? Now, the amazing thing, I can't quite believe this. We've actually been given summer money from some generous supporters to match fund, pound for pound, your life-changer giving for 12 months. This opportunity, this is only available for people who respond in services like this, okay? So don't miss out today on your chance. It would double the effect that you're able to have for this charity. All you need to do is tick the box to say, I want to become a life changer. I want to make that donation. If you indicate the amount, or I tell you what, if you're one of our fantastic, already one of our fantastic life changers, if you wanted to increase the amount that you gave this morning, that amount is also matched. So together we're building a movement of Christians across our nation. In the face of poverty, you, along with tens of thousands of others, have said, enough is enough. We'd love to keep you up to date with what is going on with CAP and for you to continue to pray for us. And the only way that we can do that is if we can send you information, okay? And the only way we can send you information, we have never been one of these people who sells your information. We've never been a charity that hands on your details to anybody else. But we cannot contact you. If you have a look at the form, there's like, it says, can we contact you by email or phone or whatever, or by post. That's the most expensive one, obviously, because we have to pay for the postage. But we can't contact you at all unless you tick the yes box, okay? We want to keep your privacy, and we will. All right. I'm going to be standing over there at the end of the services. If you have any questions, and if you've signed, oh, I forgot I had one of our life changer forms. Okay, we are going to give you today, and you give the form into me, obviously. We're going to give you today a free book. Okay, this is John Kirkby's autobiography. I read it in an afternoon. I know it's quite long, but I do sort of ignore everything else. I read it in an afternoon, and I tell you what, no one is getting rich on the back of this charity. John has mortgaged his house over and over. The staff have donated over and over loans to keep this charity going because of the impact that it has for the most vulnerable people in life. Okay, so this book is free, and all you need to do is give me one of these signed forms. Dead easy, right? Okay, I'm sure I've got enough for everybody. And if not, then if you've already got this one, I can give you a different one, but I haven't got it with me today. It's called Journeys of Hope, and it tells stories of the people whose life cap has changed. So thank you for choosing to be part of God's ministry. And through CAP, we just thank you for your support today, and hope will continue to walk in and transform lives now and for eternity. And we can only do that through you. Amen.
Thank you very much, Melanie. We're always a wee bit reticent about clapping, but if anybody wants to clap, Melanie, feel free. We'll now continue our worship with the giving of our offerings. Let's pray. Loving, living God, we give thanks for the amazing examples of people who are living your life, for St. Francis and for John Kirkby and all the other people in CAP. Lord, it is such a privilege to know that there are churches all over the country helping the most poor, the most vulnerable in our communities. And Lord, we thank you that we are all able to come here every Sunday morning freely and to put a pound or even 20p in our offering. And that as we give these, our offerings to you, you take them, Lord, and you multiply them as you use them for the growth of your kingdom, here and forth, and throughout the world. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. Our next hymn is number 721, We Lay Our Broken World.
Thank you.
now invite Robert to come forward and lead us in prayer.
Let us come before the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Ever-present God, you promise us there is no place we can go where you will not be with us, no prayers we can offer that you will not hear, no stumbling words or random thoughts that will not make sense to you, no open silence that will not be filled with our groans and pleadings. This morning, with this in our minds, we lay before you the church throughout the world, in its fragility and in its strength, in its nurture and in its mission, in its pilgrimage and in its establishment, in its traditions and in its newness, that it may continue to be what it has always tried to be, a light in the darkest of places, a healing for broken lives, a hope for a searching world. Understanding God, we pray for our nation, giving thanks for examples of goodness, and weeping with those who weep in their poverty, alienation, and despair, looking with admiration at examples of righteousness, and condemning evil in whatever form we find it. Ever watchful God, we pray for our world in all its tension and striving, wonder and questioning, beauty and brokenness. Where there is rejection, we pray that there will be acceptance. Where there is isolation, we pray that there will be understanding. Where there is poverty, we pray there will be opportunity. Where there is exploitation, we pray that there will be justice. Where there is pain, we pray that there will be healing. Where there is violence,
so we can let the youngsters keep on travelling from the church down to the hall. And you can think about those children in the Philippines having to swim to school. Yeah, have fun. Wow. Hi, Katie. Worship team are helping with the service this morning, and one of them is now going to lead us in prayer, and I don't know who's doing the first prayer. I was promised it was all organized, but they just didn't tell me who. Thanks, Stephen. All right. Okay.
Let's just come before God in prayer. We thank you, our God, for all that the seas and oceans provide for us. And we thank you for the fishermen and the sailors who risk their lives to catch fish or transport goods for our benefit. We thank you for those who face separation and unknown dangers in carrying out their jobs. Help us not to take things we have for granted and to continually rely on you for your provision in our lives. Help us to keep our feet firmly fixed on the rock of Christ and to trust you for all we have. We pray, Father, for your blessing upon all seafarers as they play a vital part in transporting almost everything we use on a daily basis, and they enrich our lives at great personal cost. We pray for protection for them when they are in areas at risk from war or piracy or storms. May they daily feel the strength of your protection, the warmth of your presence, and the love of your relationship as they seek hope of safe passage. We pray for seafarers who are stranded at sea and forced to survive using only the resources available around them. Comfort them in times of loneliness and need, and remind them that in you they are never alone, particularly when they are struggling with poor weather or sickness. Loving Father, we pray for solace for families awaiting the return of seafarers. Allow your grace and peace to dwell in their homes and their hearts until they are reunited with their loved ones. Banish fear and pain and uncertainty from their lives, that they may be blessed with hope for a safe return and joy at the reunion. We pray for hope for imprisoned seafarers and their families, that they would be released and return swiftly. Father, we also pray for seafarers and their families who are struggling with ill health. Please provide all that they need to recover and wisdom for any medical professionals who may be involved in their care. And a prayer to finish with. Almighty and eternal God, from whose love in Christ we cannot be parted either by death or life, hear our prayers and thanksgivings for all whom we remember this day. Fulfill in them the purpose of your love, and bring us all with them to your eternal joy, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thanks, Stephen. And now our gospel reading will be read for us by Heather. We're listening today to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, and verses 31 to 46.
When the Son of Man comes in his glory, with all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep and the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you are blessed by my Father. Take the inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you are cursed into eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me." They will all